Good evening, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. We have an agenda that deals with only two items. Yes, the first item are the minutes of the 9th of April, 16th of April, 23rd of April, and 30th of April. And we are deliberately wishing to start with the minutes so that if there are matters arising, we should deal with them now. And then the next item will be the presentation on the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development from the Department on Revised Strategic Plan, Annual Performance Plan of the Department. We will await the Minister leading his team to take us through that. But let's start with the minutes. Are there any apologies, Secretary?
Yes, sir. Good evening, honorable members. Good evening, colleagues. Apologies that I have is from Mr. Trollip and Prince Zulu and the DJ. Thank you, sir.
Minister, it says that the Deputy Minister sent no apology. He is regarded as absent without an apology. Okay. Sakuba Kobovsi. And I put the first set of minutes. I recall that the Secretary has indicated that members received a different set of minutes to the one that you have now. So the one that you read have been edited. And the last version is this one that you have in front of you. Normally, Minister, the team you lead, we normally speak about them. And I heard the one minister saying that nothing about us without us. I'm supposing that you have got the copies of the minutes supplied. Although it's easy. Thomas, I'm going to give you. Having read the first set of minutes that have subsequently been revised, is there a member that can attest that that set represents the meeting of the 9th of April of the Portfolio Committee? I see your head, JJ. What are you doing? You reckon it's okay? You so move. It's corrected in the new one. Yes. And that could be good. Thank you very much. The first set of minutes have been adopted without any amendment. Thank you very much. We go to the 16th of April. The 16th of April has got only two pages. The first page is about who was present, and the second page is about what took place in the meeting and the resolution of that meeting. Is there anybody who has seen them? And yes, Mungwanya Mabil.
Chair, I promise that I am going to move the adoption of the minutes of a 16th of April 2018. Thank you.
And the second? I want to go to strategically. The minutes have been adopted. Thank you very much. And we move on to the 23rd of April. I note that I note the whip raising the hand. You were suggesting we adopt? You don't? Because you were not present? I noted that. Is there a member? Yes, Mamutab. You move that we adopt the minutes?
Yes.
Not amended. Thank you very much. Any seconder? JJ, thank you very much. So adopted without amendments. We go to the last set of minutes on the 30th of April. That was a further deliberation on the APB of the department and the strategic plan and the geomatics field, professions field. Now, to the call. Yes. kanjani baba? Ushoda initial. Oh yes, okay, all right. It is so corrected, Baba Tebekul. Any other? Based on your correction, Baba Tebekul, are you moving that we adopt the minutes? Thank you very much.
Yes, that the ministry adopted.
Thank you. But you are not there. It will be amiss of me to accept your move.
Chairperson, before you move for the adoption, 4.3.2, I think it will be...
4.3.2. Yes, branches which receive bonuses despite poor performance and qualified reports by both Auditor General and what? And public service commission.
Yes. At the public service. And 4.3.5, I think
that... Yes, I think public service commission. Yes. Is it coming?
The clear and definite plans for the rollout of the CRDP, I think the one that is related to CRDP in the 23 poor district municipalities.
Thank you very much. Any mover? Yes. You second. Thank you very much. All forces have been adopted with amendments, with relevant amendments. Thank you very much. We move on to the second item on the agenda. I'm not rushing the meeting, honorable members. I really wish that you would point out some things that you want to discuss so that we don't pass a set of minutes with glaring mistakes. Because the Speaker of the House suggests that we sometimes send minutes to them that do not stand the test of scrutiny. So I have to make sure that we send good minutes to them. Honorable Minister, this is now your chance to take care of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, I've got a team here which will lead us in presenting the strategic plan of the department. And the annual performance plan. The Director General is not here today, but Mr. Skawan is available. He is acting DDG for Corporate Support Services. Dr. Mashia is unwell, so he'll make the presentation. Where it is necessary, Honourable Chair, and also in the mind of the committee, I should be able to participate during the discussions at the pleasure of the committee. Thank you very much. And now I'll hand over to Mrs. Kavan.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee. Chairperson, we're here today, of course, as a follow-up to our last time when we presented the ADP and the revised strategic plan of the department. As a follow-up to that meeting, Chairperson, you would recall that members forwarded a number of questions to the department with a view that certain issues needed clarity out of the APP. So we are here today basically to come and give that clarity to the questions as forwarded to the department. I am with the team of a number of my colleagues, which they will introduce themselves as we deal with the relevant questions to their specific area of work. Chair, if you would allow, I would suggest that we deal with this presentation in terms of an order of each question, so that we are able to deal with each question in detail before we move to the next question, thereby allowing members of the committee then to engage my colleagues on follow-up questions to the question that we will be dealing with. And if Chair allows, that will be the approach that we would love that we follow. Chair, the first question that was submitted to the submitted by the portfolio committee members related to the draft HRD strategy that we presented before the committee, and the committee noted the following: that the HRD program should be aimed at furthering and supporting the strategic goals and objectives of the department and to improve the skills level in the country as a whole. The committee further noted that there are indications of non-alignment to the HR strategy and the organizational structure. Example given was that the HR strategy goal number 4, targets 2 branches, which is RAID and READ, according to the strategic plan and the APP. And yet the department has no branch known as READ in terms of the strat plan and the APP that we had submitted. Secondly, the HRD strategy is in its draft form, and there is nowhere in the strategic plan nor the APP where the strategy would be finalized and be implemented. Chair, the response to that question is that indeed the presentation as made on that day explained that the branch STRIF has been replaced by the branch RAID, which would stand for Rural Enterprise and Industrial Development. And finalization of the draft HRD strategy in this financial year will form part of the Chief Directorate HR and the Directorate HRD operational plan and the performance agreement of the director for 2030. And to that effect, we have not changed the operational plan as such. The performance agreement of the director now reflects the finalization of this draft. Furthermore, the attachment, which will keep opening as we move along, will indicate that indeed stress change to RAID were made in the document, in the glossary, and in the old presentation of the 23rd of April this year. And to that extent, Chairperson, we will therefore be resubmitting these two documents with such a replacement and changes, noting that we had presented these documents on the 23rd. So the HRD strategy will have those changes. The glossary to the document and the old presentation will then effect such changes, and we will leave you with a change to the document. I can explain. Actually, we will start by apologizing. Our network has been down and up and down this morning. All the attachments that you're going to see stated in this presentation, they are quite a set document. So what we've decided to do is to cut you CDs. And some copies are actually being printed, and I'm told that the colleagues should be on their way here. The delay was really as a result of the network that was not working this morning between Pretoria delivering the documents to Cape Town. So indeed, Shepherd, you do not have attachments. You only have this presentation in front of you. Okay. So the attachments are coming, and just as a way of demonstration to you, all this year in this computer here will be the attachments that are coming your way. So on question one, for example, when you go to something that says question one, those attachments will be there. So you'll find them in your pack.
Because at the funding that is a question, what was Nikki Bindul? The document would be Nikki on the 23rd.
another explanation which are you or less if not. According to your first page, you say that you did give us that document, which explains attachment, those things that are in the attachment 1, 2, and 3. I thought that's what you say.
No, sir. On the 23rd, we presented a document called HRD strategy and the HRD policy. On the 23rd, after your question, as you noted that we used words like RAID. And in the APT, there was nothing about RAID. So what it says is that, yes, we acknowledge there was a change of name in the brush called STRIF, and you pick that up. So what we say is that now we have corrected that document of the 23rd with the changes that you picked up. So there's these attachments that we're going to be giving you today on question one will then be the same document of the 23rd of April, but with the changes. Thank you, sir. That was question one, Chairman. So we have made those changes. Furthermore, let me just note to you that indeed, if you actually go into the HRD strategy, it identifies the kind of skills that the department identifies until 2018 that will form part of the package of skills that we want to develop over the next 5 years. And that will take care of the first part of the question that there has to be that alignment between HRD strategy and departmental objectives. I will therefore, Chairperson, move to question two. The question two from the committee related to the fact that the committee has not been briefed about the organizational renewal plan, nor does it have in its possession the same plan. For purposes of parliamentary oversight, the committee therefore should be provided with the mentioned plan in order to determine what the 55% or 60% in terms of quarterly targets of the plan represents. Therefore, Chairperson, again, you are going to get in the pack that is on its way here. You're going to get that strategy, the renewal plan strategy. What is the question? And the strategy will look like this document. This is the document that defines what the renewal strategy of the department is, and that the document therefore will identify those areas in terms of the renewal strategy that we hope will drive the renewal plan of the department. So in the next pack that is coming, this is the document that will be put into the renewal strategy. And we are therefore presenting it before you as you requested that the committee should have such a document. Question three, Chairperson, dealt with the issue about information about the branches which managed to receive bonuses. This is, I guess, performance bonuses. This information is still outstanding and they need to assess performance plans for those branches. To this effect, Chairperson, we have attached attachment 5, 6, 7, and 8, which will give you the analysis of question 3. Just take you through this first part, Chairperson. This presentation here is in terms of the last year's the updated report. This is the updated report on the 2011-2012 performance assessment of employees as at the 13th of May. This is the performance assessment for the previous financial year, 2011-2012. And just to give you a sense, Chairperson, the slides here will give you the breakdown of number of employees in each branch, number of employees assessed, number of employees not assessed, special cases where the assessment could not be done, and any possible remark by that particular branch. Now this slide here, for example, will demonstrate to you the ministry. Okay. And as you can see, this report is the very latest in terms of last financial year assessment for the ministry, and all assessments have been done. So you'll be able to go through each one of the branches to see what is the status. Where you're going to find employees not accessed, there will be a reason that is provided. But I can tell you right now, Chairperson, that some of the cases that are pure outstanding cases where assessment has not been done, DG has already issued letters of discipline to the relevant DDGs, and DDGs have issued letters of discipline to the chief directors and so forth as well. But majority of the cases in the department for last year's performance assessment have been indeed completed. This will be the first answer to the question. The second answer, Chairperson, to question three will be the status the report on payment of performance bonuses for the past financial year in terms of salary level 1 to 12. These are what we call the non-senior manager category. And this annexure will be able to give you such a breakdown which will demonstrate the salary level category in terms of each branch and how many employees have been paid such a performance bonus in each branch. But the total as it stands for last year is about 18.7 million that has been paid to non-senior managers. In terms of performance. I must categorically state, Chairperson, that for this financial year, no senior manager received performance bonus. What they received was mainly pay progression and your usual government 13th check, which majority of people call a bonus. Really not a bonus, it's a 13th check that every employee receives as part of conditions of employment in government.
The second answer that Mrs. Kawan has given, he does indicate that these are the people who got the performance bonuses, but it does not make a definitive link with the branches that we were asking specifically. Remember that our question on performance bonuses are directly linked to meeting of targets. That's what we originally asked. So we wanted to know, what are those branches that receive these performance bonuses in relation to the fact that the department's annual report has indicated that these branches did not meet targets and so on. So we wanted to see what is the relationship. Now your answer here is half. You say these are the employees, but you don't say in relation to which targets they met or did not meet in the financial year. Can you finish that?
Chairman, I must state that we spent quite considerable time on the measure or the ratio of measure between budget spent, performance bonus and pay progression paid vis-a-vis the targets not met. And Chairperson, you're right, in terms of the report that we ourselves gave to this committee last year, we did indeed say that only about 45 or so of the planned targets were met, and yet so much budget was spent. Part of what we're being advised is to also be careful of such calculation, because not every cent of the budget is meant to be a direct cost to the target. Let me give you an example. We spend, this delegation, there's about 10 of us, and probably we've spent, well, just the sums, like 100,000 coming here today. Flight accommodation, SNT, and all those kinds of things. None of these costs can be directly be related to attainment of a target. It was coming to this portfolio committee. It's not a target. And yet the money has been spent. Now, part of what we have asked financial services, in particular the directorate cost management accounting, to help us to do is to do the direct link costs that are attached to the target. So it is this scientific analysis that we want to do in the department so that we do not assume that the 8 billion budget that this department gets, all of it, therefore, goes to target. Because then that will be a fallacy in the manner in which we do management account. So without being technical about the question and the answer, Chairperson, I think these are some of the adjustments that we're just saying. Indeed, we have made such statements, and such statements might be misleading, both to the members of the public and this committee. But I would like colleagues, other DDGs, to assist me in answering this question, because I know that we've spent quite a lot of time amongst ourselves debating this issue. CFO, I'm not sure if you want to add.
Minister. Nancy difficulty, Minister. Ikela Zuskawana is telling us about the expenditure of the budget. We don't think it's a relevant matter now. What is relevant is the relationship between performance bonus and the meeting of targets. We're not talking about the overall budget expenditure. We're just talking about the relevance of the performance bonus payment to the meeting of targets. That's why we said, which branches are you talking about? Because we want to see which branches did not meet the target, which branches did receive the performance bonus. If this one did not meet the target and yet they did receive performance bonuses, we need to understand on what basis. That's all we wanted at that point. Mrs. Kawana, for instance, if you look at the presentation here, you have a situation where the yellow highlighted part says this is the salary level, this is the ministry, this is the director general, support services and so on. Here are the employees that did receive the performance bonuses. Now, if you go through all of them up to the end, you will then see whether the department has actually given all branches performance bonuses. If that is the case, which ones among those have the targets not met? So that we then can compare the performance bonus payment to that branch and ask the question, why are you still giving them performance bonuses when they did not meet the targets? That is the relevance of our question. Mrs. Kawana, you are now saying, coming here, spending S&Ts, flying and going to hotels, has nothing to do with performance bonus. It has to do with the assessment in terms of performance bonus that we are asking for in meeting targets. Please.
I thought, unless I heard him incorrectly, I've been expecting him to say it again when you raise the question. I thought he was saying, people call their performance bonuses, what do you call that? Annual. The fitness check. I think they are, if that what he was saying earlier on, he speaks to this, then they are wrong in writing performance bonuses.
Performance bonus up. Xa kuthathwa zonke branches wonke umntu unikiwe then sizafuna uyazi uba sezi bs branches did not meet the target sizokwazi usizobuza ke ngokuba irelevance ye-performance bonus a meeting of targets ndibanaphi
in the general level. Let me try and give it my second best shot. Chair, 40% targets met, and maybe then one would say 40% of employees could then get performance bonus. But I think the point I'm trying to get to is that all these people, all these numbers that represent people here, do not equate to 100% of the employees. Let's also bear that in mind. Okay. If you take ministry for example, only how many? 2, 1, 4. Only 7 people got a performance bonus, but the ministry employs
Maybe you use that as an example.
Yeah, as an example.
Wait, let's deal with that. It helps us a great deal to have an understanding so that we are in the same wavelength with you. If in a ministry the people who got bonuses are those that you have listed there, then we'll ask the next question. Are those the people that met the targets in the ministry? If that is the case, can you explain the link? Then we can go through that and have an understanding. Because you're using a very appropriate example.
Indeed. And that's exactly how the system of performance management works, Chairperson. I would sign a performance agreement and I would say I would achieve the following. Okay. And say in the branch there's 10 of us. And out of 10, only the 4 of us would have achieved the target. The 6 would not have achieved the target, and therefore they would not qualify for a performance bonus. That's what this slide means. So if you take the total here of all these employees, and unfortunately we didn't add them all together, these people would not even constitute half of the staff between salary level 1 to 12. These are the very small figures. Remember, the whole department employs about 4,700 employees. Okay, now if you take about 200 of those who are senior managers, it would leave you with about 4,400 of this category of employees. Now, out of the possible 4,400, if you add these figures here, which my mind gives me just to about 300 of them, you would see out of the possible 4,400 employees, only about 300 to 400 got performance bonus. And that would not even constitute your 40% of that category. But there's still a huge number of people who did not receive performance bonuses at all.
By implication, Mrs. Coward, you are saying throughout the department, remember the original question, which branches did not meet the target in relation to performance bonuses? Now you are giving us the whole department, and you say all of the branches did not meet, including the office of the minister. But this is by implication what you actually say. And this is what the committee has been asking. At long last, we've got the answer. We will come back in the deliberations. Honourable members, I tried so that you have an understanding of what these figures represent and so that we are able to have some relevance in the original question. Thank you very much. Ms. Coward, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will then move to question 4 from members. The committee noted that the reports by Public Service Commission, the Auditor General, and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation the reports by the Public Service Commission and the Auditor General and DPME raised several issues, and the committee has done same in its budget review recommendation report. The concerns about the department's inability to meet some of its targets. For example, the state land audits, the redistribution of 30% of white-owned agricultural land, finalization of Project Kolaganyo, settlement of all land claims by 2013. The committee concluded that there are a range of reasons for this failure to be met, to meet the set targets. One of those is the capacity of the department to implement the set programs. Chair, let me start, and I'm going to give our colleagues to speak to a number of these examples that you stated. From a human resources capacity point of view, Chair, just between July and April this year, the department has advertised about 1,650 positions, and we are in the process of filling those vacant, funded vacant positions. So it is our belief, therefore, that over time, within this current financial year, there shall be improvements in terms of capacity needed by the department to fulfill its mandate across spectrum of key result areas that we have identified. I have, however, Chairperson, prepared some of those some of those concerns that you raised as per this question, in particular the issue of Kolaganyo projects, and I would like the CFO to give you some sense around that particular issue.
Sorry, Minister, I'm not a lawyer. In law, there is a phrase that they use, saying that some but the express mission of some means the exclusion of the rest. The right most is called. No. Your examples, you are citing. You chose the third one. Why Jambu 1 or Jambu 2, in terms of the examples. The government would use Jambu 1 boom, get an start.
No, not really. Maybe because I was already on the floor, so I better I'll deal with that relates to me. But indeed, other colleagues will deal with those other examples that you've raised. And that's why I was saying CFO would come in terms of the Kolaganyo project.
Listen, if I'm allowed, that example, there's a question, I think question number 10, which is dealing with it. Maybe I can answer it then. But your conclusion was about capacity to deliver. And I think the DG has elaborated on the fact. On 10, I will elaborate on the Kolaganyo project. The reason for the delay.
In the chair, unless you would want to.
Not on that, but I just want for my own understanding, Chair. The budget policy speech is supposed to express the policy. Now, I think in my last budget policy speech, if not two, I indicated that we are not going to meet 50%. The President has also made the statement, and I indicated why. And the year before last, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we said our target is that all land reform farms will be productive, 100% productive, rather than this kind of target. I'm not sure to what extent that goes towards making the committee focus on what we think we should do, or rather we are pursuing, rather than what we're not pursuing, because we're not pursuing that. 50% by 2014. It's impossible. I've said that so many times. Just for my own clarity now, I want to know when will the committee accept that, in fact, government has expressed this and therefore not pursue that as a target when, in fact, not pursuing it as a target?
If you read the entire question, honourable members, please. This is not my meeting. It's our meeting. I just wish to share this part with the members. Because my own understanding, and from the point of view of the mandate given to us by the committee, we were meant to say, in pursuance of the issue about capacity in relation to targets, meeting of targets, we acknowledge a range of reasons for failure to meet targets. There, line number 3 from the bottom. We acknowledge that range of reasons. But then we said most of them are linked directly to the capacity. We are not denying the fact that you did not say so, Minister, but we are saying it is directly linked to the capacity of the department to meet the target. If you therefore look at the report that was given to us by the Public Service Commission, by the Auditor General, and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. They themselves acknowledge this part, that they are related to the capacity of the department. And hence that question. Mr. Skawan is now saying, you are pursuing a process from July last year up to April 2013, a process of recruitment to boost the capacity of the department. And remember, Minister, most of what we are talking about here emanates from the APP. And we are saying, giving the committee confidence to say to the House, we, as this portfolio committee, commend this budget and its targets and the operational plan of the department purely on the basis that we have got confidence that the department will meet what they say they will meet in the APP operational plan. To give us that confidence, we need the department to give us some assurance that the capacity is being dealt with. That's all we're trying to do. So, yes.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Besides the fact that Honourable Minister Andrew, the fact that they cannot meet the target, and the President has also stated that, the problem we're having, our duty is to oversee. We cannot do that if there are no time frames, if there are no targets. So what is on paper is 30%. If now, who means that, as he says, they've realized they can't make that is their target now. Because what is on paper is 30%.
Asikabuzi nge-target enter. Sizathetha ngale report sinikiweyo. Okwangoku unifaku, we're comparing the annual report with the IDP and the revised strategic plan. To give ourselves confidence that, remember, we are specific. If you look at this question, it relates to the budget review recommendations report. We're talking about, in the previous financial year, you gave us this report, and you are now giving us a new budget, and you're saying in your ABP, these are the things you're going to do. So for nobody, trust nobody confidence. Nobody was a end, and all. Capacity, because these three institutions are mentioned above are confirming the point we're making as a portfolio committee, that the department could not meet its own targets. Even the minister has confirmed that, even the president has confirmed that. To give us that confidence and comfort, to recommend the budget in the House for adoption, sneak any indication you are actually dealing with the capacity issue. And Mr. Skavan is saying, yes, that is what we're about. Let the branches indicate what is it that we have done, considering the fact that from July last year to April this year, they are advertising to fill the vacancies, to boost the capacity. It becomes very clear in the House. New targets, because they have now given us a promise, the operational plan about the sneaker yard. So that was what was good to play branches, I was done, as the targets is in charge. Because you remember that we are now accepted the fact that 30% of agricultural land is not possible within the next financial year. We have accepted that. But the land in terms of the new operational plan. So Okwangokufakwena's numbers is purely on the basis of information provided to us, not information in the Gabiko. So Omapawena, Minister, remember that you will be standing there telling the nation, this is what you have achieved up to now, this is what you're planning to do. Sifuna ukuphakama phansi ngqi, ndiyakhumbula mzimnandi hamba kweyohane isahluko sesithathu verse 11. Sithethe sikwaziyo singqine sibonelele. Ube uthi ufake umsebenzi wethu i-oversight, siphumile sangena esixekweni, so ukhangele izinto nizithethayo uba zenzekana. Sizawumakhe ngosingqine sithi ikhona i-evidence eprovayo ukuba ezi nto bazithelayo bazenzile. That's what we're trying to do. And asifuni ukugrumba izinto ezingathethwanga, funithethe ezithethiweyo. And that's normally the problem, I'm sorry. Yeah, but again, no, I'm not going to put the financial committee. The committee in a test. I hope I'm not disadvantaging you, JJ. I'm just expecting. I'm disadvantaging you.
Yes.
By saying what?
No, I don't follow what you are saying. Here and there, I follow what you are saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I was trying to canvas explanations. Mm-hmm. About what's written here. If you look at the previous page, JJ, the previous page, it has so summarized the information, and yet it's not there, it's not here. It took him to explain what those issues are for us to understand. And this is what I'm trying to do on this one as well. Without even asking the branches to tell us what their new targets are, Ufa has tried, and I asked him not to pursue that line. Question number 5.
Thanks, Chairperson, for the clarity. I think it helps a great deal. Question number 5, Chairperson, and the remarks by the committee is that recommendations of the Public Service Commission and the Auditor General to address issues of financial management and governance, as well as the failure of land reform, are vitally important. Analysis of strategic plan, especially the APP, it is unclear whether the department has considered the recommendation of the Public Service Commission and the Auditor General. The committee, therefore, wishes to further engage in discussions of the department about its responses to the presentations made to this committee on the 23rd of April, as well as identifying how planning process of the department could improve on this matter. Chair, in actual fact, in the last month or so, there's been quite a lot of movement around this issue. Just to give you a sense, we are in the process of developing the new MTSF for the next 5 years, and part of that development of the 5 years is now being driven through, in particular, the Auditor General, the DPME, and Treasury. Indeed, in trying to help the department to make sure that issues that you've raised here are addressed. To this extent, therefore, the department has indeed considered the recommendation of the Public Service Commission and the AG, AG's report on the improvement of the service, to an extent that the involvement of DPME and Treasury are now involved in the development of the new target. In actual fact, tomorrow we have a meeting with Dr. Ngomani from DPSA and Treasury to help us in this very process. And they are using as a benchmark the reports as you have raised. But in addition to that space, Chairperson, as you would know, there's now the new pressures that are coming into the department from the National Development Plan and the growth path. We're now also in the process of integrating within our APP and the Strat Plan and the MTSS in particular. The new SIPs as driven by the top drivers as identified by the NDP. So the process is even more bigger than we had initially thought. And indeed we are undertaking this process. And therefore the new MTSF that we will be resubmitting as your email with the DG, some of these things will be reflected in the new submission.
Before I do the ship, I would like us to have a common understanding of what we mean by land reform moving forward. Land reform means redistribution, restitution, tenure reform, and development. Those are the four pillars of land reform. So that in future, as you oversight us, you have a common understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chair, we will now move to Program 3, which was rural development specific question to that program. And that will start with question number 6. And the question was from the members that what are the plans for rural development in the 23 district identified for intervention in terms of rural development program? The committee requests the department to present particular projects, including sites where they implement sites that will be implemented in this financial year. It is known that there are 65 CRDP sites across the country. The APP lacks clarity in relation to the particular location of such projects in the 23 district sites. Chair, I will then move to the attachment annexure number 9, which will give the details of such sites. I will ask that my colleague, I think it's Zanzi, Mr. Zanzi will take us through this report of the sites. Question number 4.
Mnumzana uzange lo mzuzu ake ngakhethi minister. Ngiyakuncedisa. Ungasinceda minister going back to page 6. Le first sentence yethu to you. Uba ulokwazi uba ukusikela nje le defense. Uba sinika ifido.
Yeah, that's really what it is. No, because I think we have failed ourselves to explain what we mean by word use. As a result, when we talk about land reform, we often talk about redistribution of land, which is why the 30%. And then we then say it fails because we don't meet 30%. But we also fail historically because we didn't develop the land. And as a result, the land reform program indeed failed. If you really look at the qualitative aspect of it, that's where we visibly failed for a long time. So we thought we should clarify ourselves so that our team understands what we are talking about. The other area where we failed to address the tenure reform, we dismally failed there. We still have the same tenure relations that we had when we took over government. So that is land reform. We should have dealt with those things. So we didn't do well in the distribution. We didn't do well in restitution, at least tried. We've gone a long way there. In terms of tenure, at least we've recovered with regards to development, with the recapitalization and development program. We've recapitalized more than 1,269 since 2010, and we're making lots of ground on that. So that's development, that's land reform. So we thought we should be clear on this so that to help the committee also help me when it goes to the ground in terms of, oversighting. Actually, you know, it looks at these things. And when we say land reform, it looks at, okay, how far are you with land tenure model? How much, in other words, what is the extent to which you have balanced the dispute ownership of land in the country, both at the communal level as well as at the commission level? So it's such an important for oversight responsibility. I think it will tell me a lot. Thank you, Chair.
Bendicinga minister uzawuthi kubika siphosi leyo kuloo nto in phrasing that sentence. Yeah, no, it's clear now. By the way, minister, I think the honourable members will recognize this fact. The work you are doing has never been done in history of South Africa, ever. Nobody has ever done it. Not even whites among whites. Not even Bantustan, within the Bantustan, it has never been done. So you are breaking new ground. And I'm not exaggerating. You can trace all the ministers before yourself and look at what they have done. Some of them attempted to define the path and never implemented it. At least you are defining, programming, and implementing. It doesn't matter how much you fail. You are undoing the history of 300 years of the history of South Africa. I'm not buying your face, I'm just saying that I know that the members of this committee will acknowledge that. Thank you.
I'm not sure if we are allowed to clap hands in the committee.
No, this is not propaganda. It is not election material. It is a fact. Can I tell you one thing more? Just for the sake of it. Minister, no land audit has ever been done in South Africa, ever before. No. Ask these members. There is no record of land audit in South Africa ever been made by anybody before you. No, never. You can go back to your own records, you'll find even white people among themselves, they have never done land audit, let alone Bantustans excluded. It has never been done. And it is important for us not to point at failures and repeat them every day, but it is important for us to say, here is a success story, something that has been done and achieved. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Chair, I'll ask Mr. Zansi just to take you through the CRDP side report in terms of the 23 districts.
Honorable Chair and members and Minister, officials, the attempt there is to respond to the question as raised. The department, while implementing the rural development project in the 23 districts, want to ensure sustainability of land reform and restitution. We embarked upon the process to align projects that are all programs that are implementing in the 23 districts. Just to give some context to this, what the department did, five branches came together to ensure integrated planning. So the report you see here and the project list that we're talking to is not an output from a particular branch, which in this case is what used to be called SRIF, now called RAID, Rural Enterprise and Industrial Development. But rather the project list that we have is an output of an effort of five branches, all of them coming together, putting together a workflow that ensures that when land reform buys farms, all the other interventions are lined up from the other branches. RAID will come and do infrastructure, SRIF will come and do social mobilization, restitution will come, all of them are coming. So that when we identify a site, it is a site where all the five branches, and just to mention the branches very quickly, is the one branch called restitution, land reform, STRIF now called RAID, REIT, as well as SPLAM, which is to be called SPY, which starts by identifying the special development frameworks and all the other interventions follow. Now, we didn't think it would be wise to project the full project list on PowerPoint, except to provide that summary there. But the list is an Excel one, highly exhaustive, broken down per province. But if one were to summarize, the list is compiled according to the medium-term strategic framework, and I've provided the five codes that are guiding our interventions at the top there. A is the type of projects that are agricultural. Secondly, those that are addressing basic needs and quality of life. Thirdly, those addressing industries for agro-processing, tourism, fisheries, etc. Fourthly, and D, they are those addressing green economy. And then number five, E, non-agricultural activities for food security and income generation. Number E, Chair, is very important for us in that there have always been bias to think that our interventions, our projects, are merely playing in the terrain of agriculture. But what you will see with numbers D and E particularly is that we are venturing into the non-agricultural space. If we were to provide the summaries, I can actually assure the committee that when you will be looking at the list, which will be part of the annexures, it will cover all the 23 districts as prioritized by Cabinet, all of them as in the different provinces. What you see there is a bit of an anomaly. You will see Gauteng, which is not in the 23 districts. You will also see Western Cape. What we've done was to identify three most deprived districts in those two provinces that are not in the 23. So that on top of the 23, we've added Gauteng, we've added Western Cape. It gives us a list of 30 district municipalities across the country. The nature of interventions, I wouldn't want to talk to those numbers, but under A, really, just take me back there. Under A, you will see when we talk agricultural, there will be 35 such projects in the Eastern Cape, 41 in the Free State, 4 in Gauteng, giving us the total at the bottom, which is 563. If you're looking at those addressing basic needs and quality of life, it's the column called B, and again, you get to the total at the bottom, 189. Just lastly on this one, for each province, you will be able to see number one, the province, number two, the district, number three, the local municipality, number four, the ward in that local municipality, number five, the village in that particular ward. The project list gives you that fine detail. Hence, I said it would not serve our purpose to go there. Now, let's go to the next slide. Mr. Skawana, it's not me, I'm just talking. Thank you very much. The next slide here, what we've also done is to identify common projects that we do as different branches and what is the input of each branch is going to be. For example, this slide here talks to the program called Animal and Felt Management Program. It is a program done by two branches in the main, but you do have inputs from another branch which is not the land reform. So REID, which is Rural Infrastructure Development, in the program, we'll actually do the fencing, the sharing shares, the tipping tanks, the bowls, animal handling facilities, social rehabilitation, fire breaks, conservation, agriculture, not in any order. But we're just highlighting some of the infrastructural projects they are going to do. But within that same project, you've got RAID, which is being enterprise and data development, which will be looking at the software issues, at the production issues, the development of your farmers, livestock, cooperatives, enterprise development, buying inputs, we're doing market linkages, labor issues, human resource development, governance. So you've got one major program in the department that is actually being tackled or attacked by different branches, each one having carved its niche. If you look at the next example, we didn't want to tire you with too many examples, but the second example, similar to that one, is the River Valley Catalytic Project. Again, the same attempt there. We show you on the left what infrastructure development branch REIT is going to do, and then on the right, we show you in the same program what REIT or what it is called STRIF is going to do. Now, this forces collaboration. We've even said when we're defending our projects, there's not going to be a lead branch or champion branch because we don't want other branches to take a back seat and say so and so will lead. We're doing this as one project team that has got two principals at the level of our DDGs. So this is an attempt to satisfy the portfolio committee, and this will be supported by the detailed project lead that we have planned for the 23 districts. We've actually gone beyond that and identified districts that are not in the 23 in Gauteng and Western Cape, giving us a total number of 30 districts. The last point to make here, Chair, is that over and above merely answering the question on CRDB, there is another program that we're driving, which is called Triple P, Public-Private Partnership, where we've got to produce on 1 million hectares countrywide. What this collaboration is also taking care of is that project as well, which is now called the Integrated Food and Nutrition Security Program that comprises of government, the private sector, and the public. And again, when we talk about those 30 districts, we're talking about all those interventions for that program as well being covered as part of our initiative. I think I've dealt with the first question. The second question? Should I pause at this point?
I think so, Mr. Unless members will then make follow-up questions.
Yes, I'm happy to provide further clarity. Maybe if it would be required by the committee, we could go to the list and just isolate one example if that is necessary. But like I said, I'm reluctant to do that. It's quite exhaustive, and it will be part of the annexures to be provided to members. Thank you, sir.
There's a song by Brenda, which we were at the end. She says, "Confidence, baby, confidence." I like that. I like that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You were answering question number 6.
Correct, sir.
Yes, and you went beyond the call of duty. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Tawan.
Youths will identify the social facilitation through the establishment of functional councils of stakeholders in rural development programs and together with land reform and restitution to address the social facilitation issues where required on this first. I'm going to ask that again, that doesn't help us with any further explanation to that question.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just on that question, that is the response from the press called RAID, but like I said, it's a collaborative effort. If you could go to the slide from RAID, Rural Infrastructure Development, what they've done to answer the same question, they've actually shown us specific numbers of their interventions in these farms. Certainly, from our side, we are using NARISEC as our implementing agent under the leadership of the minister. We are using NARISEC as our foot soldiers. We are asking the question, if something had to be done by an external partner or service provider or whoever you call that consultant, we think NARISEC must be capacitated. And already they have received training in construction, training from FET colleges, etc. So we see them being the foot soldiers in this one. But just go to the Vastil Strif or RAID. Vastil, I don't know what you've called it, but it would have come from Dr. Daphne Mayindi. Still on the same question. Can you help?
Sorry, it looks like we didn't include it here, but it probably it will have definitely been in the pack. Sorry, that doesn't, I think we left. We couldn't download it into the memory stick. But you're right, we do have that presentation. Oh, apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Minister, and the members of the committee. Mr. Poe, if you can go to the slide with Excel, that with yellow, highlighted in yellow. Yeah, so this slide actually is trying to indicate some of the land reform projects that are supported under the program of rural development, but specifically from the Bryant RAID. As indicated in the APP for that strategic objective 5.3, there is the performance indicator which talks to the number of projects implemented through an animal and feld management program. So we have indicated a target of 182, and there we're just showing some of the specific projects that will be implemented and also the targets. So the numbers that are indicated there, they will add to that 182 as indicated in the APP. And there's a breakdown as well, Clear Province indicated the type, the number of projects that will be implemented. So hopefully we have answered that question. But if you need more information as well, we can provide that for other projects as well. And so if you move to the next slide, it talks to the River Valley Catalytic Program as part of that strategic objectives as well. We're looking at about 5,000 hectares that will be irrigated, and again, that breakdown indicates the number of hectares that will be irrigated per province. Yeah. That's going to end there.
When you say, is this the target to be met by April next year?
It's,
is that what you said?
Now we're indicating some of the land projects, that land form projects supported under rural development program. So that is just an indication of those, with the target that will be achieved by March 2014. Yes.
Members, the real reason why I want clarity on this matter, at some point we were told that the President has asked this department to identify 1,500. You know, 1,500, 1,200, I'm not sure what is the actual number, but it was 1,000 something.
both in the rural, in the Pakistan and outside Pakistan, where work will be done. I see you saying 5,000, not even what the president asked this thing to be done. But it looks like they're exceeding themselves.
Mr. Ferry, if you went there now, I think they, when we were there 2 months ago, three companies were working there. The fourth one was going to be employed, to be appointed. The one employs 76 people, the one 60, the one 35. The length of that irrigation field is 23 kilometers. That on its own. And so that is possible. Judge of justice and judge of smith.
Bona mosimfaka ndifuna ukufana nalatata wasezilalini onoonyana baphakulayo. Enkosi mphalisi. CRTP. She said. Land reform is an overall picture. But in particular, CRTP. I thought that's what you said, ma'am.
I haven't even gotten to the level of talking about our achievements around CRDP. It was just mainly on projects and supported under land reform, but through rural development program.
Minister has given us a definition. Zanzibar has specifically indicated a collaborative thing. So if you are singling branches and you are moving away from what Zanzibar said, that's why Sibuso was being copied.
No, I was saying
this
question is talking about the number of land reform projects that are going to be supported under the program of rural development. So that was mainly around a animal and fed program. But then the list, the other list that Mr. Zand indicated, it indicates the whole CRDP program with different projects that are not necessarily under agriculture only. So non-agricultural will be included in that list as well. So this one was just very specific, I think.
Chair, I wanted to say we agree with you. This is one thing, that collaborative effort, all that this particular slide is doing is to now give us the project number. I didn't give you numbers. I gave you roles of different branches. Reed will do this in terms of infrastructure. Reed will do this. But what this slide is now, we thought you would actually need the actual numbers as well. But this is the same thing that we're talking to with the minister.
I see.
I'm not sure whether they are afraid or not. It will show you the workflow, which actually talks to that collaborative effort from beginning to end. It would show you exactly what they're talking about. But I still think they don't like concepts. I like them. Well, they don't show it.
Kodongwana ngimini uthi utawake wayese embizwe komkhulu. Kuxoxo utathu kodongwana kakodongwana akathandle ndixoxwa especially andithethwele laxhako. Kwale mzuzwini athi uyathanda kanjani uthetha into oyithandayo. Utsho elixheko liphindele elixheko. Yho kakakodongwana sonke sasuka emizini yethu sifuna uthetha into esiyithandayo enkundleni. Ufuna thetha into ethandwa ngubani.
They have talked about it. They say to you, we're working collaboratively. The next one goes back to speak about one project. And we're asking back, you say, but because your mind is set on the collaborative effort. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is that
this is exactly what we are asking. Exactly. That's why we went back to Dr. Who? Mahile. We went back to Dr. Mahile and said, but Mahile. Okay. They are kind of welcome along with them. So I'll go to Lula. When we asked, why are you talking about the rural development, land reform? But we understood land reform to be incorporating everything. So it's still a cooperative effort. They are now working with the CRTP. savumela umseke umsekelo rongo. Okay. Honorable members, this is an attempt to make sure that we go to that debate, the housing on the budget, clear ukuthi kuzawenziwa ntoni apho. Khona lanto Secretary General, General Secretary Nomsa, uthi by Eastern Cape, bizwa inkokheli zemibutho ukuthi thethe nabasebenzi. Uyinifike nikhumshe, nikhumshe, English, enins, abasebenzi bajonga. Uthini lo muntu? Singenda ufika pha endlini, sithethe izinto engavakaliyo, abantu babuza uba bathile aba bantu. Sine-imagination mos mngwenamila, abantu bahleli phaa, bamamele thina. Babuza abantu, bathini aba bantu? Abasakhumshe, asiyiva into bayithethayo. JJ, it's an important matter for us to clarify what they say. Because we do not want people to ask themselves as they are sitting here, what are these people talking about? Remember, this is, we are questioning the APP in relation to the strategic plan revised, also in relation to the budget, which was tabled here. So we do not want to talk about this in this as the Johannes, I chose this start to verse 7. Tedes quasi, yes, in Rene, Subon Le. No, JJ is a Christian. He knows the Christian Bible. St. John chapter 3, verse 11. He would know that. Chini. Egos Kabul. Iyage, honor of, we are on one page 10, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
No, but there's no page, There's no question 8. There's question 9 after question 7.
Yeah, 8. We've flown it down, but it's still coming because it's linked to tension.
Did you know?
There is going to be question 8, but it's down. It's a bit. It's a bit.
This is going.
No. We just got it flow as a page.
See, Simbiza is on page 9. Simbiza, question 7 or question 8.
What I wanted to suggest was that I would also want, as part of question 7, that Mr. Mashangu also add to that question 7 in terms of some of the input that he wanted to make. That I stopped him to go into the toilet.
Honourable Minister, you will recall this question as you raised. I think it was, the DA asking you, or is it, there was this thing that there were pilot sites in the rest of the country, and what has been learned from those pilots, so that we can then say that the SRDP has an impact where it has been implemented. And that question arises from that. Ubana Spendler, Mrs. Cowan?
Yes, I was just suggesting that there is actually the actual question 8, and then so there was us that we had put it not in a sequence, but your question 8 will be on page 14. and then I thought that Mr. Mashangu would deal with it now immediately as a follow-on to the earlier debate. It will be on page 14 of the presentation that we have.
Thanks, Chair members, Honourable Minister. I think the question here talks about recapitalization and development, as well as work done under this program and the work done under the rural development. Initially, the concept of recapitalization and development was basically meant for land reform, as explained by Minister, which is your redistribution, properties, restitution, and rights, and so on. But it was tweaked as we go along to say, can it be extended to the rural communities, even though in the rural communities it's not your typical farms, but it's a rural space. If you go back to the slide that talks about the read and rate, it tells you exactly what recapitalization and development does. A bullet. Go back to the slide that Zanz was talking to. It tells you exactly what the RAID and RAID, which was formerly STIF, are doing to assist communities under recapitalization and development. Basically, recapitalization and development become an overarching policy or a fund that you avail and then you ask other branches, for instance, to go and become the implementing agencies, so that there is one pot of money that it can assist everyone, whether it's a farm or it's a rural space. So, for instance, we'll identify work to be done in the rural area. If it's fencing, REED will take over fencing. If it's roads, they will take over roads. They will do storage facility, agro-processing silos, taking facilities, and then if it's REED, then we'll call them to assist communities with production, mechanism, finance, processing, such as farmer development and enterprise development. Because what we do in the rural space is not like before where you just concentrate on subsistence farming. You want to make sure that after you secured what called food security, which there's enough food in the household, but then they can do enterprise development, the suburbs can be sold elsewhere. That is basically now evident under what Zan spoke about, the PPP, where we are helping those communities with other private sector initiatives like Massive AMSA, and to say people must not only do sustainable agriculture but also trade. And then as per the NDP requirements, you also look at agro-processing in those villages, making sure that you've got their silos, if there's surplus also, if there's market for them, you enter into agreements with the fruit and veggies and markets where they can come and take in their communities. That's all recap and development, but implemented by other branches like retail. That's basically the chair.
Thank you, sir. Sir, this, of course, would lead to the earlier discussions that we had, so we'll move straight away to question number 9. The portfolio committee indicated that the president announced the reopening of lodgement of land claims during this year, which marks the centenary of the Native Lands Act of 1913. The elephant in the room is that we do not know how many of the settled land claims are finalized. The commission should provide this information. I'm going to ask that Mem take us through. And I'm not sure if there's additional connection that we have.
Perhaps, Chair, through you, if you and the honourable members can allow me to begin to explain, because I see that the responses are given, but they've been put in the wrong place. Irene is putting up the slide that's responding in the correct manner. Thank you, Chair and Minister and honourable members. The question is, we've just identified that in terms of the presentation, they've actually put the responses. For example, response number from page 9 is on page 10 and so forth. So that's why we've quickly just fixed that on the presentation that's now shown on the screen. But the responses are actually in the document, except that they didn't put them in the right process.
There is a response sheet. I'm sorry for the mess up again. It will be on page 12 of the document that we have. Although with the board, it will say APP shows something else, but the actual response that management to about will relate to slide number 12.
The question by the committee is that they do not know how many of the settled land claims have been finalized. And in response, we say that of the 776,980 claims that have been settled fully as per description above and counted as of October 2012, 59,000 of those have been finalized. And we try and explain that a claim is finalized when the extent of the settled claim has been executed. For example, if you've got 10 properties, that were restored in terms of 142D, and all of those for 10 properties have been transferred to the beneficiaries, or if you've got, for example, 96 beneficiaries in one community claim, where they are paid out $12.5 million and all 96 beneficiaries have been paid in full, then that's when you say a claim is analyzed. Otherwise, if when we see settled in terms of the restitution act, that's when the minister actually approves, he's looked at the claim, the processes, and he's approving that the claim is valid and therefore settled. And then after that, we still have internal departmental processes that we pursue in order for us then to say that the claim is finalized. Can I then move to the next?
Honourable members, if you went back to the original question, the link being made here is that when you say you're reopening, the first thing that the people ask, Jobu reopen as inja, Uting as Zindala. Ms. Kobato is saying 76,980 claims have been settled, but only 59,513 of those finalized. She has not answered the question about Zingapike has never co-settled, has never co-finalized.
Thank you, Chair. We are currently processing 7,000 claims that are in various stages. We've got a number that, I've got a slide that actually shows the breakdown.
To help you, Minister, for people, remember, we're talking about confidence of the committee supporting the budget. In this meeting here, the committee members here, it is irrespective of whether we collectively agree that the information we have gives us the confidence. Many political parties tend to instruct the participants in the debate otherwise. But if we have evidence, you deny anybody denying an opportunity to deny that what you are saying is correct. We want to provide evidence that says this is what is on the ground now, information terms. So Umis, who is again moving the target, says we are processing 7,000. Out of how many that have not been settled and finalized? Sneaky picture. Once they come through a floodgate, one gets a pesky amount in Ghana and claims that have not been settled and finalized. That's what we're trying to do, Ms. Kobato.
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to save the presentation. Chair, of the 29,696 claims that were lodged, the commission has managed to process 76,980, and we have. Outstanding about. I'm saying about because I'll explain why I say about. We have about 7,800 claims outstanding. But the question that you asked that follows that speaks to phase claims begins to answer some of the problems that we have in trying to give a definite answer in terms of the outstanding number of claims. Because we've got claims that are not researched yet. So if we have a claim that's not researched, we cannot definitely say how many rights are in that claim or even whether that claim is necessarily valid. But we are we have commissioned a team to actually research our claim so that we're able to then give a final answer. So maybe if I can begin to explain some of the phases, then I can come back and give you more information on that answer, if you will allow me. The second question says that the committee has also found out that land claims are being settled in phases. That's in part. The commission states over 95% of lodged land claims are settled, and of the 95 settled, how much is settled 100% and how much is settled in phases? The response is that we've settled 95% of the claims and 5% are outstanding in phases. And what you are explaining, as I said earlier, is that sometimes due to the nature of the claim and due to the fact that you have more than one land right in one claim and you've got more than one current farm owner in one claim, you often then have to negotiate with different farm owners at different stages because some are agreeable with the restitution. Some will allege that there is no claim, and as such, then we find ourselves having to then settle those claims in phases. We then have to negotiate then differently, and then that claim then is settled depending on the negotiation and the processing of that phase. So that's why we call them phased claims. And therefore, for as long as a claim is phased, we cannot count that claim as settled, even though, in, for example, one financial year, we would have moved five phases, we still will not say that the claim is settled because though all the land rights in that claim have not been settled. Until we settle those, then only after the 10th one will we then count that as a settled claim. So that's what we mean when we talk about this claim.
Wako, Ms. Kobota, you said it equally at USB. Zinga PK so. When is the definition Google of Niki the number?
Chair, I've said 95% of the settled claims have been settled. We're left with 5% of the settled claims that are based. We've got only 5% of those. Can you the response is there, one of the The papers are jumped up. Page, if you refer to page 11, Chair, the response is on page 11. Mm. It says 95% of the land of the lodged claim referred to have been fully settled, and 5%, that is 2,761, as on end of October, have been counted as settled. And 5% are those that are still phased, that were still processing. 5% of the settled.
If you go back, let's go back to page 12. You indicated to us that 76,980 is a portion of 79,674.
Yes.
79,674.
I've got another presentation.
Another presentation?
Yes.
That has been 79,674 are the total number of claims. Out of that total number of claims, 76,980 have been settled but not finalized. And then the next page is 59,513 have been finalized. Now, because we are not asking about finalized, now we're talking about phases, because we're settling in part and the another part, which should explain the rationale. Now, she says, out of the 76,980, 5% of those are still outstanding, because they are, others must be researched, others must be, because she says, those that are not, on page 11, those that are not counted as settled, now the 2,716. And they didn't discover.
I'll put up the presentation so that maybe I take you through the slides that I have that have steps.
And you can borrow the land where it's a town of wound. Until she puts it there.
Yes.
Otherwise, I would have requested that they go back and do work here. Let me say why. If you look at these figures they put up here, they don't tally. Now, when I got into the department in 2009, I asked the same question. And I was told that there were 4,000 and something claims remaining. And we went around for anything. And we found that, in fact, there were 7,700 in the boxes, and they were pulled out of the boxes and physically. And we set out another set of youngsters to go to all provinces to do physical counts. So I would like them to speak to that. What happened to those figures? Because that was a couple of years ago now. So there's been a lot of work done. But this 2,716 is 5%. It cannot be correct. This single phase, this phase, that it doesn't work well. I would like to share with your permission, of course, and the committee, to ask her to go back and do a proper count, unless this will actually answer the questions which I see here. With all what is written here is not correct, as far as I understand the department, with regards to restitution and figures, because we did a lot of work on it.
Honourable members, we do not want to go to the House and submit this report with lingering doubts. We want to be confident that the information that we trumpet in the House is going to stand the test of scrutiny. So if you are agreeable, we would want Ms. Kobodo and Tim to go back, unless your information in that slide is complete, then fine. Go ahead, Ms. Kobodo. It's your choice.
Chair, I would prefer to then go back as Minister's request. We've got some of the information, but just to make sure that I don't give you half information. Or perhaps I could speak to this presentation and then go and add, if that's what you wish.
You can see now already. Look there. That's what I understand. The total number of claims received and the total number of claims that have been settled and the total number of claims that have been finalized. Those are the three very important figures. And whatever stats that will come out of Nombulo must speak to those. If they don't, then there's a problem there.
Okay. We're going back to her, Minister, and say, okay, it's your choice. You want to give me these figures now? If you are confident, they will tell the total story. You can go back and rework them and come back. It's up to you.
I will go back, then, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is so important because, the president announced, and it's going to be announced within the next month or two, that the whole claims will be open. Now that announcement can't come if we don't, and that's why we ask the questions, to be 100% sure what is going on with the claims which was submitted. I actually ask, can that outstanding be given per province? So that we know precisely how far it is, as the department has the capability or the manpower to
to get more planes, because there's going to be a lot of planes coming in if this whole thing is open again. So that's why we ask the questions, and I'll say that they must go back and make sure that everything is adding up, so that we know this is how far we are with the current claims.
That's correct. That's exactly why I'm intervening here. Because today, Cabinet approved the amendment. It's going for public, so the process is moving. It's not going to be stopped because of this. But we have to be correct, on the other hand. Because remember, Chair, the reopening is not about just new claims. Mm-hmm. It's about these very ones, where people have been left outside, they never claimed. Mm-hmm. They are given an opportunity to claim, and all that you need to do is to just take them there. You're not going to buy another land in every case. So that's why I want to be very strict about the figures that we see here, because we've done a lot of work in terms of the system right now, in terms of preparing for what's coming through. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Scavona, go ahead. We are now dealing with question number 10.
Indeed.
And Ms. Singo said, I'm ready for question number 10.
Indeed. And I'm going to ask that Ms. Singo go straight into question number 10.
Thanks, Jefferson. The question was to say that the department has been working on Project Kulafano for a long time to relocate to the new Tshwane campus, and we had anticipated to take occupation in April 2013, and the ATP indicates that 96,000, I think it's 96 million, has been allocated for this project. The APP fails to state whether the project is likely to be concluded, and all the state, all that is stated in the strategic plan is that the department intended to take occupation for the new campus in April 2018. The department should provide updates on this project, costs incurred so far, and future plans when the project will be finalized, the occupation of the new offices. Chairperson, yes, the strategic plan indicates that we are planning to take occupation in April 2018. The strategic plan is for the period 2009, and this is a project that started from 2004 as an attempt to move all the department units, the department of the then Land Affairs, into one building. We have, in terms of the strategic plan, we had really envisaged to move in by 1st of April, and the ATP still show it as a project, because it is a project that is registered. We had not updated the ATP to remove it out of the project. However, there have been challenges with the project in moving to the final stage. We have been engaging with Treasury to finalize the project, because they were disputed among the prepared bid. So that's why the 96 million is showing there at the APP. The 96 million represent the unitary payments that we're going to pay on a yearly basis, hoping that we were going to move in the current financial year. Construction would have started and we would have completed. We're going to pay the unitary payment per year for 96 million. So there are delays on the project, but we are engaging with Treasury and all the relevant players to finalize the project to phase three of the project. Thank you.
Ngiyabona ngoku indlela oncume ngayo. Uyayiqonda la confidence besicinga umisingo ungena ngayo kulo mcimbi. Ayikho reflected later in the time. This is as courageous man, la confidence yakho kayidluliselela lapho. You see, you, I did mention Ms. Kogodo, who Tate Matanzima was unveiling. Oh, yeah. Udo and Landu, Yusuf Lek, who 76, who Missela, the country against her. Who found this species like a upper Pasquale flag. But you eat, who Lavan Bakum of a UC flag. By a new star, we have found that. It is with doubt, the Hawaii flag. But I mean, that's what I like I said. What is my idea? Why in a cigar? But we attend with an actor. As a funny good, it is with doubt. With up doubt. It's a debate why. What is actually happening with this person? You remember, look, normally we're journalists sitting here. I'm trying to ask you on the lager, go on your band and it was. Uchi, there's a plane, it was I'll spend $96 million per year, I don't know how many years. Iman in the project, young, Uchi Huku, the department had anticipated that it will spend 96 for unitary payments on the financial year under it. Zbenga, Peter's 96 million. Originally, we said again 96. We got his means as 96 million. He man the building. He got one of two buildings. Uguru. Shabang. He got one. Who tell you that I was the runaway train? What's going on, Mr.?
Listen, with the Triple P project, when we enter into Triple P project, we do a construction from scratch ourselves. We build with the private partnership the building ourselves. Now, in terms of this project, which started way back with the Department of Land Affairs, we were saying, let's take all the rural...
What was the to say, Imali liberty?
Imali?
How much?
Oh, how much?
Yeah.
Yes, with the Triple P, I was just trying to give the background because we don't pay the total full amount. You pay a monthly lease over a period of 20 years. So the lease is for a period of 20 years when we repay back the private partnerships. Over a period. So what we had reflected was not the total cost, because we are not going to incur it once off as a department. We're going to incur monthly lease rentals in repaying back the construction cost. So that was it's still just an estimation, because the project has not yet been finalized. The preferred bidder has not yet, we have not moved into approval number 3, where Treasury approved to say, now finalized, you go ahead. But in terms of the APP prescription, you have to indicate if you have a project and in that current year, if it's to be implemented, how much it's going to cost you. So we are not going to be incurring that amount in the current financial year because there are delays in the project. But by the time, because it was supposed to go to the Treasury Committee in December, by the time we printed the ADP, we could not change that figure because we had already submitted it as our proposed amount. So it's in doubt. We won't spend it in the current financial year. There we are just showing the indication of the estimation of how much it will cost us per year. So
yes.
This is another stick in the story. Yes, it is a sticky story. You see, the problem, I think Singo should have given you a summary that says there were a couple of bidders for the project, and then one of them was successful. The second best challenged that. So it can move now. because this one says if you give them this, we take you to court. And in any case, the others are saying, I had a lengthy discussion on this last week with the DG, and I came to one conclusion that let's go back and actually rediscuss the matter with Treasury, because the PPP model is a Treasury-driven one. It's not our model. All of us as government have come to the conclusion that it doesn't really work in favor of government. We're rather looking at Change 7 kind of arrangement. So we asked the DG to go back and discuss with Treasury, because Treasury has come up with a tweak. So itself, the Treasury has come up with a tweak, which we need to discuss with them, because it's got implications as well in this. Because you might, for example, in the case that we're in, you might want to come up with a hybrid arrangement and bring the two together to discuss an arrangement where they go rather into a partnership. Because you're in a cash-22 situation, you're never going to build anything for the next couple of years. As to whether it should be only APP, really, I don't know. It's for the committee to decide. But given what I know from that discussion with the DG last week, it's not going to fly this year. Nothing. It's not going to happen. Thank you, Chair. Perhaps you might want to have a full briefing from us, and then we take a decision being informed by a full briefing where the DG with the president, and then get the presentation like that.
Mr. Skawane?
I would suggest that that one be a closed session.
Mr. Skawane, when we asked the questions to the DG, because when he was here, he said, I've not been given a mandate to come and discuss everything. I've been asked to come and talk about the HRD strategy and the HRD plan with your organizational structure. We then raised these questions because although there's a mistake, it's not 96,000, in fact, it should be 96 million. Because we were worried that, because there's nothing in this that talks about your monthly, it says this year we're going to spend 96 million. So it was some kind of doubt even on our part, that it looks like Naomi is in doubt. Honourable Member, there is clear that the ISO Wednesday and therefore Superintendent at the Wednesday, we must talk about something that is going to happen. But then I cook here or Google it. But say corner, that's the APP. In the way APP, a bank of the revised APP is in the way in charge. If you pay your card, Mr. APP Avenant, and then we'll page one under. Is the picture then built up? The lavam, that is. And the public in eye. So I suppose we coop out with it. And I coop out in the records, in the minutes, and say, Pumile, Kobaizobako. And we have expectation you put it a debate between ourselves and Treasury, and they yield into it. Let's do something else. Or we can say, leave it here. We await your briefing after the discussion with Treasury. We do not regard it as a project until you come back. Perhaps that would be the better way to settle the matter. Agreed? Thank you very much. Is that okay, Mr. Kavanaugh? See.
There are two things I want to show you. He'll still run with it, just that I want to show you something to the committee, so that the committee, I think we owe it to ourselves to do so. I asked them to put up something. This is it. Move. Don't show that. Yeah. That's it.
Chair, when we discuss, I've always raised this question with the teachers. I ask them, when you discuss with the committee, the strategic plan with the committee, do you actually show the committee what government approved in 2009 as a CRCP model for the country? And this is it. And I find that the strategic plan which we keep on is so technical, it speaks nothing. And there's always this going in different directions with strategic plan and this model which we are implementing in a lot of ways. If you look at phases 2 and 3, that's where you derive your rural enterprise and industrial development, what was TRIF. It's an evolution that happened through this model. With the advent, and you see the red one, I'm going to quickly show you what happened with the advent of the National Development Plan. But if you look at the National Development and all of us go to implement the provisions, rather to pursue the Vision 2030 of National Development. Now, if you really look at that, your CRDP, that's what the CRDP is about. From conception and inception, 2009. So I always thought that the committee probably hasn't got something like that, which would assist the committee to, when you visit the site of the CRDP, you look broader than perhaps one smaller thing and another one. But rather look at what is happening here in terms of the CRDP. Let's move to the next one. Because the land tenure model, that's what they want to talk about. If you go to that, look at that one. You see the tenure model. you see here, this is what we are piloting now. In 18 big CPAs across the country, this is a model. This is communal tenure model. Because we think that we have to institutionalize the US rights of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 households. So that nobody would abuse a child-headed or a woman-headed household just because there's no husband there. That is a protection measure. Because remember, part of Clara was dealing with issues of that kind. Let alone that there was a procedural reason, but there were also references to the content issues with regard to Clara. So your household sector, which is the basic unit of production. You remember you have said at some point we need minimum amount of hectares for the household. This is the combination of all of those things. But outside there, you can see out there, where you have the collective economy and so on. So the important thing here is that if you look at that little box there, you'll see that it talks about title holder, the governance structure. It could be a trust, it could be a traditional council. In this case, it's a typical communal area where there's traditional leadership. Because you can see that the rural household, it could be a CPA. And what we are busy working on now are CPAs, really, we're working with CPAs. So far, we all those 18 that we're dealing with. Sunday, there was another one, which probably is going to be number 19. Now, if you look at that, there's a specific task and responsibilities of that governing structure. So that governing structure cannot allocate to itself anything that does not belong to it. So we define authority and responsibility, and we say that is a responsibility box, not an authority box. Because we're operating within wall-to-wall municipalities. So your authority is derived from your government, and at that level is the municipality. So that you have the traditional council in communal areas where you have traditional councils themselves being responsible institutions, but themselves working within the constraints of the constitution of the country. So you can see in the center there, where you have your community public-private collaboration, that's where the state comes in, provide social infrastructure. Remember the CRDP ahead of that? Providing all of that social, economic infrastructure and all of those things that are there. That's municipalities working together with people and so forth. But the economic development, because this is a rural area, our view is that no mining or forestry or whatever that happens, nothing of that kind should happen in those areas without the consent of the people. And in terms of saying, what is it that will benefit? That is why you, if you watch the television, I think last night or so, there was this Chief Pilani, and then there was another one, it was Runatal, where we've just given people land on co-management basis. This is I can't remember the name of that, you might remember, guys. But there was some people are saying, now we've got 65% of this. They are in partnership with the private sector thing. We own 65% of that. But there's a Mrs. Mtimkulu. Mrs. Mtimkulu says, but we get nothing. It's only the elites, those people who are out there who are getting something. This model will deal with that. Because what we're saying here is that 60%, 65% is 65% of the ordinary people. It's not 65% of the elite. Because what is happening is confusion of authority and responsibility there in that box. So what we then say in the model, complete model, we're saying the quorum is substantive, not numerical quorum. Substantive in that if you have as people who constitute this place, this space, which has got a single title deed, the number of households is the number of households which must constitute the quorum. In attendance in the meeting, every quarter there must be a meeting, where they will report on those elements in the box. Whether it's traditional council, or whether it is a CPA, or it is a trust. So that decisions are not taken by people who fill up the hall, are taken rather by people who own the land. And number three, another important thing here is that when they report once a quarter, it's going to be a 50% plus one majority. In other words, not majority, but minimum in terms of that quorum. So that anything below that won't constitute quorum. And there must be reports. Remember that there must be reports of the CPAs, which are not happening regularly. That one is going to have to happen, strictly speaking, because they've got to report about what's happening with mining there, what's happening with forestry there, what's happening. That's why we are establishing these committees in these various areas where we, this CPA is now. We've got this, we established technical committees, we established socio-economic development committees, so that people can now start engaging these people from outside. The same, lastly, this model will also assist with respect to state land. For instance, like Sun Parks, or if you take Ado, Eleven Park, or Kruger National Park, Kruger has been claimed. No, but Kruger, people know that they can't get Kruger. So the co-management model, whereas it did be developed properly, because Maluleke was very, very elementary. We wanted to be developed fully so that we don't only transform other institutions and leave those that are owned by the state, that the management of those institutions itself must be transformed. So that there must be representation of the people who owned the land before. And there should be a better fund which will educate them so that as they get trained, they take over management control of this. And it remains in the hands of the state. But the management cannot be left like it is now, just for white, as it is happening everywhere. So those are the elements of this communal and tenure model. And we think that because the way it has been accepted by both traditional institutions and CPAs, the trust, etc., we think all of them have come to the point in conclusion that it's just impossible to run things as they are now. On the 24th, we have a meeting with kings and chiefs and with Mr. Baloi. We're all going there, presenting this model to them. This one particularly speaks to an area like you see the royal household. So that this is a reality, it is there. But there are areas where there is no royal household. For example, the CBAs, the trusts, elsewhere in commercial farms where we gave people land. It's a similar model, but without the royal household being there. That's the model. That's communal tenure model. That's going to, we're busy working on that. We're finalizing that now. and we're starting draft legislation so that it will be legalized. Thank you, Chair.
You are going to link what the minister is talking about with the recapitalization, so that Pasetange, security of tenure in a communal land, will be the recapitalization. So minister is saying extra policy framework on the communal land tenure would be completed in the fourth quarter of 2013-2014, which means
thanks, Chair. It's clear for sure, Nidilanga. I tried earlier to explain the work of recap and development in the communal areas, but I'll just try to summarize it again.
The responsibility is to get clarity on what has been in your document. This one. Let document, I think I could say, it does not explain the relationship. What we're talking about, put your app of the document. There are people living on commercial farms. There are people living in communal areas. How then the recapitalization? In either of the two, or both. There has to be a relationship in terms of tenure issues. Minister has explained the tenure questions, but you are now expected to explain the relationship between what he was explaining with the recapitalization. So good to get also strike to say, and I think we couldn't go as far as we understand.
Just check. Let me quickly jump on the commercial farms. In the commercial farms, we are now reviewing policy. As you know, that we're dealing with the land tenure security policy and strengthening the ESTA so that we protect the rights of the farm dwellers. And then also making sure that you've got land rights management board that will deal with the disputes in those commercial areas. You will know that we don't have a right, basically, in some of the things that we can do because it's a private farming space. But what do? We make sure that we provide support services in terms of legal support where they are being evicted or illegally evicted. Before it was just that legal support. Now, the new policy is going beyond just legal support, but also coming with grants that will enable us, if we agree, to establish your agri-villages, so that even though the person has been fired at work in a commercial farm, but can still reside in farm. So the new policy will also come up with the grant funding so that they can support it with the basic needs that are needed in the farming space. So that's where the cap comes in, which means that if we go to court, you win against the commercial farmer, and then you can implement something. It's not only about storing the rights, but you can also give something tangible, like maybe a house or infrastructure in those commercial areas. Then in the communal, going back, if you look, please go back to that model. If you look at the first model, the agrarian transformation, it basically defines what RECAP must do. If it's land, it's defined to say that you will come up with a system with cropping. It names the economic infrastructure that is needed that will be provided by RECAP itself, your agri-parks, your fencing, like I explained, that the implementer may be a REIT or RAID, or livestock, economic infrastructure, so that they can enter into the economic activities. Basically, it basically means that, as we know, Chair, that in some of these communal areas, you don't have the simplest of the basic services. So RECAP go and try to identify what are the human basic needs that are needed, which is a phase one. And then once we finish with that, and then you do enterprise development, you do agri-villages industries, and then you make sure that you graduate those people in the communal areas. It's all defined in this model that is shown there. So if you look at the cropping and livestock, it's basically what the RECAP has done. Obviously, you start by giving, is assisting new technology. You start by making sure that there's land, because in some of the communities, you know, the issues of collisions and all that stuff. You identify the land that can be bought in a nearby communal space, and then make sure that you decongest the people, and then you give them the means of them entering into economic activity.
social infrastructure, you know, and you graduate amenities, facilities, and all that. That's basically what the gap is done. People will say, okay, but land reform is not always land reform. Land reform provides the fund, which is the gap and development, for other branches to be able to do these other activities in that space.
Ms. Kunyamabe? JJ, are you happy? The answer? If man was there. No? But oh no, I noted more.
No, it's Chair, just look at this the figure one. That's what the policy speech is going to talk about under 10. You will get it, Chair. But one of the things you'll get that, you'll get the communal tenure as well. You'll get that because that's why I brought it, Chair, because I thought the committee should know what we're all about and help me remember that it does all the time to raise sharp questions on these issues. Which one?
No.
Which one?
Lending.
No, here you are.
Transformation.
Phase 1, 2, and 3. Let's show you. Move to. Let's show the chair. Move to the NDP. Rich, let's show you what's this. The chair, what you're talking about. It's a good question, actually. Move. Yes. Just see. Let's see what's there. Vibrant, blah, blah. No, move on that one. Yeah, the NDP one. Yeah, there you are. The CRDP and the NDP, that's relationship. As a result of that, that's actually meeting basic human needs. That's coming out of the National Development Plan. So the you can see, Chair, even though they didn't say to you when I was living too, the Rural Enterprise and Industrial Development Branch, which was CRIF, it's actually it's raising the bar on, because with the advent of the LDP, it became clear that we have to actually be going back strictly to the CRTP. So this one is the meeting basic human needs, this one. That's what the rural infrastructure development is about. That's what they're talking about. But not only that, because it's food security and so on. So that, which I said they should have shown you, the linkages. You remember they were talking about that? It would have actually fitted very well now to say to you, given this, and this is how they presented to me, actually. I'm surprised they don't do it with you. Given this, this is how we have positioned ourselves now, in a functional sense, from point A to point Z, at the delivery point. They've done that very well. So it's because now we have to align all our programs. These guys are funny. They've got information, eh? Look at this. and they buy the chigale and sanje. Yeah. So remember that the NDP, all of us, have had to align our programs with the National Development Plan. So that's what in our department we've done. We've looked at that and they've developed something which let them show you now.
So in your other one,
should I talk to this minister?
But when exhibit delivery improvement plan is out of them, what's the process? I'm telling you the truth, they won't. Just wait and see. I hope they don't try to do it. Because these guys can do things and they work on those things. You judge them on things they're not working on. Do you see what
I've shown you here? These are the things which, this is the CRDP model. And we have been working on that model. Yet the strategy, the APP and so on, not all the time, it is talking to that thing. The river smug is exactly what we were showing here. River smug. If you look at river smug today, it's totally different. But where have you ever seen river smug? They talk about Muyesh and other things, but river smug is a good, good model of CRDP. It's a good model of green economy, green village, in the making. 50% of the lighting there is solar, including the schools, the homes, the streets. But, yeah. There was a picture here of the Alawa here. Now we have completed the dairy parlor. We want processed milk there. Because they're milking dairy cows. I mean, you don't get those things.
Now we're busy working with, we're busy retaining, starting to pave the roads now. There's a number of 2 years ago, to pave them, not charge, to pave them with the manufacturing of the pavement themselves and to us. I think this is D or something, because you were talking about green economy. And that's an area.
So that you have a much more, we want to do away altogether with tenders, with rural development. We're doing away with that rural tender. It's the youth. Those strategic issues.
That's what it is called. you dig it out. You see, you dig it out. The same with the listener. Phase two is we've already marked the thing. If you dig it out, and then you do the plantering, you do all of the things you put here.
No, I know, but at this stage, I'm saying it's just
the OG's right there. JJ, you don't convert the meeting into a conversation. This is a meeting. JJ, as I believe, November, lost December 8th. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, we clearly have not exhausted the issues raised. We just touch on them. So on those matters that you are going to go back and deal with, like Ms. Sigo will deal with the project, Ms. Koboto will deal with the finalization of the claims and so on, we will be happy to get those responses in writing. We don't have to have a meeting unless the clarity needed. I think when now Ms. Obodo, you will have to come. But Ms. Obodo, you can give us the outcome of the conversation that the minister has spoken about. And so on. Yes, Ms. Obodo.
The 20 districts, Ikapelo Kokba, it's only the Northern Cape, the five of Northern Cape. So I thank you for that.
The 13, you added from the 23 some others from Gauteng, and but the document, no, the reason why it's November is because the document given to us as an illustration of the project in those 23 just cover only the only Northern Cape. Can we see the
number four?
Why? Mr. Skowan, Honourable members, I think we have come to an end of our meeting. And did it? Agree with you. You want meeting to come ahead. Yes, Mr. Dan.
Chair, there was just one question that was asked, which we did not deal with. We had prepared a response. The question about the impact of the CRDP.
Unless maybe that was a very important question.
Yes, and let me be the check. It's in the PowerPoint that Mr. Skawana was presenting, but there are two answers to it. The one answer was that there is an internal process in the department championed by our Chief Directorate Monitoring and Evaluating,
okay,
who are actually evaluating the projects without even telling us as line managers going on the ground to check if what is being reported is actually happening on the ground. That's one response. The other thing we had highlighted there, Yes, I think that's the one. It has impact. No. The second, if not third question from the... It's question 8. That's good. Yes. There's a question about that. But anyway, the answer, I've seen it, there is other, we didn't talk to it. There is a process initiated by the Department of Public Monitoring and Evaluation, because what the question was asking is whether this is an in-depth study that had been done on FTP. Our understanding was that we can't evaluate ourselves. It will not be objective. It will not be independent. So DPME is actually championing that involving our branches. We do not have the time frames. We can get back to the committee with the time frames. But it's a process that's quite in-depth, that's objective, being run by another department to assess the 3 years' impact of CRTP. And we provided that in the responses. I thought that maybe we needed to say something about that. Thank you, sir.
inceda thina abantu ba enje banexhala wasinukhangela bafana bethu eRhawutini bazabuya nazona iminqwazi nebhadi newotshi. Honourable members, there are two questions that we have to deal with now. The first question, Honourable Minister, the first question has two parts. We requested Chief Surveyor General again we Wednesday night. But our ministers are still up anyway. Tuesday was always an exception, only when there is no sitting in the house. Tuesday. There's a proposal that the portfolio committee meets on Wednesday night instead of Tuesday night. We have to give space with issues, the concerns.
That is the day that we should be utilizing for the committee.
You see, what we're trying to avoid, Minister, is to call you on Friday. Because we know these members, they rush home on Friday. That's why we have proposed the Hepsuk. So that they ask us our lalab. This is not a portfolio committee of the ANC. This is a portfolio committee of Parliament. Study group. There's nothing to do with your study group. Okay. Okay. You're going to end the other party, course, Monday. JJ? The DA does not have a study group at night. This is a portfolio committee, Ms. Tava. Okay, fine. I'm happy we had that. Minister, we're submitting an application in your office to make you free for Tuesday night. Tuesday night, yes. Yeah. And Mr. Mangoba, Mr. Skwanagago, see here, Pagule, now, we were both more brinally. We have prepared dinner for people to sit down and eat. And then I'm told that transport has been arranged to take members to their respective villages. So there is absolutely no reason why anybody would say, I'm not going to have dinner. No, dinner is served. The meeting is adjourned.